Yes, that was a couple of nice little tracks we had there for you. We had Intravenous by Killenjoke, Fascist Jockage by Skinny Puppy, Prime Mover by Ghost, and we also had And So I Watch You From Afar there with, as regular listeners of the show know, my pronunciation is terrible, but we'll try it anyway, Jeff Topley with La Plata Es El Asino, and that is the first choice of the guest of today's show, Matthew Alexander Patton.
Hello there.
How's it going, sir?
Not too bad, not too bad.
That's what we like to hear. So, would you like to introduce yourself properly to the listeners?
it's interesting. I always have a choice of manners of how to do this. No, I'm a music photographer in the local scene, community, whatever you really want to call that. People always have different names for these wee collections of humans that gather together. Also a writer for The Unsane Guide and Tolling for the Mute, and as well as that, I do a bit of film work, but I've been off the radar for a while in that capacity.
What sort of film do you do normally?
Experimental. Dirty. No, joking. Music videos mainly, the odd little short film. Unfortunately at the minute, the way things are going with the economy, it's a wee bit hard push to get a nice budget for something interesting, but otherwise than that, you can get a nice wee music video put together and thrown together for absolutely nothing. I've seen a few brilliant grassroots efforts out there. The last video that I put together was for A Plastic Rose. We shot it on a shoestring budget. We put it together, and the whole concept to keep it nice and interesting was to base it around being one entire shot for the whole thing. So we get a crowd down and mucked about. It's always good to, I think it's always good to try concepts out when it comes to these things.
Sweet as. So would you like to tell us how exactly you got into photography and blogging, etc.? Because obviously a lot of people have this impression with photography, etc., that it's a lot of times they've done it, you know, they've done it since they were a kid, and then they've just sort of, you know, whenever their mates get into music, they just sort of fall into that. But was that the way it was for you, or was it a bit more, you heard the music and thought, actually, I want to be a part of this?
No, there was a definite moment when I was 7 years old, back in a grassy May day. Absolutely not. I stumbled into it, as with everything else. As with everything that I've done, I stumbled into it face first and come out of it smelling up of rosebuds and petals.
Hang on, is that my lawyers in here? We'd like to say, no, he didn't, actually. It's more Rose and Petals. Sorry, did I carry on?
No, it's grand, it's grand. No. Well, some people have thought that the rumour about the sunny day in May was, is in fact, quite true, that a camera fell from my father's side, and I grabbed it, reached up, and thought, Jesus, what's this here? That sounds good. But no, in fact, it was actually a gig over in the Cellar Bar in Drip... pardon. in merry old Dripperstown, out my direction in the country, run by the Glasgowbury Group, a fantastic bunch of people. And it was in Swaywashy from Afar, actually, which is why I picked that song to go on first. I was literally driving home from one gig, and my mate said that we could make another, and thought, bugger it, it's only 11 o'clock. Sure, what could this possibly be? Wee small, tiny bar, 40, 50 people crammed into it. Rory, Tony, Chris, and Johnny just absolutely blew me away. And I had a camera that I got for Christmas, and just had it out there arsing about, as people would. And I think I took two or three really bad photos. And it was really just the music more than anything that really drew me into it, and the way that it made me feel, and the way that it, I reacted to it. So it is, it's one of those hilariously brilliant un-stories of just fell into it, like the pond.
And whenever, you know, before you discovered the term, local music, if you know what I mean, but before that,
terrible term.
what sort of bands were you listening to beforehand?
Britney Spears, Debbie Gibson. Does anybody remember Debbie Gibson? If anybody does, call in. She's the original Britney Spears. Probably them, REM, Manic Street Preachers, early Radiohead. Not that much, actually, to be honest. Before I get into local music, I didn't realise how much I actually liked music. I'd have it on in the background. I'd noticed in films, and it would really affect me. And I'm looking back, hindsight's a wonderful thing. But I look back now and think, Jesus, you know, how much I actually loved it. And it's weird that it has now become the all-encompassing factor of my life.
Very much so. I believe you were recently... profiled in one certain magazine, I can't obviously name it for legal reasons on the show, saying that you were, what was it, the hardest working photographer over here?
I believe the statement was one of. for legal reasons, I have to state that was the case. No, I like what I do. I love what I do. I go at it with a passion. That's not even a selling point. I don't like marketing myself at all. People that know me know that when I get behind something, I try to give it my all. And it doesn't necessarily mean it always works out, but as with everything, I think that breaking eggs is brilliant. It's good fun.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So this next track you've got lined up for us here, if I can find it. Oh, yes, it's Ash.
Yes.
A band I never thought I'd play on this show, but there's a first time for everything, I suppose. Tell us a bit about why you picked this track.
There you go. Well, that's actually a very good point. There you go. That's a band I used to listen to. Absolutely loved Ash. Did I know Ash were from Northern Ireland up until I got into local music? I'm honestly going to say no. Sorry, guys. Sorry, everybody. Sorry, mother. Sorry, father. No, Ash are just a band that I saw at a festival that was played live on BBC, probably Reading and Leeds, actually, more than likely, that performance. And they just blew me away, so I've followed them ever since. And whenever I get the opportunity to actually shoot them and get a chance to see them live at Glasgowbury 07, which was my first proper music festival, broke my duck there that year with a few different things in a row, the music festivals and photography and whatnot. It really blew me away. I was really, really, really just shocked by how different it was to hear something that blew me away out in the backyard in the grass with sitting with the Walkman on back like 10 years previous, and here it was in front of me being played. And a lot of people don't really like them now, but I still love them. I think they're great.
What did you think of the idea, you know, with they did what the Wedding Present did when releasing singles more or less every month? Was that a good idea, do you think?
I gotta be honest, I think it's more to do with the content than anything. A lot of people are fighting to try and bring out different marketable ways of doing things. I think it's, at the end of the day, if it's good music, it'll get heard and people will buy it. Definitely.
Okay, well, this is Ash with Oh Yeah.
Oh yeah, she was taking me. Ooh, yeah. possibilities. All colors are changing in my eyes. Your hopes are all fading, that will never do. You're seeing the world through cynical eyes. I'm seeing the world through the eyes of somebody new.
Okay, would you like to tell us a little bit about that track there, lad?
Badly Drawn Boy is another one of the childhood favourites from before the local music scene took over my life. Community stroke, whatever you want to... population control, whatever you want to call, as I said, this group of humans that are making music here in Belfast. Badly Drawn Boy, big, lovely, bubbly, summery tune. I remember that I even remember now, walking down streets and just playing that. Come the summer again, it's going to be another one of those... tracks that's just stuck on there in a wee playlist for walking about the town.
See, the problem I'd always had with him was you could always tell he was a big Springsteen fan, and Springsteen's not necessarily my cup of tea, because I remember in 2002, whenever he was, I think he'd won the Mercury Music Prize or something like that, and he was doing really well, and then he was playing gigs like the Albert Hall, and he was doing it for 3.5 hours, but whenever he actually broke down the show, about an hour and a half was him rambling and telling jokes, and everyone's going, play a song, will you?
He is. He's definitely an artiste. I remember he was big into doing a lot of his street gigs and things that got there, and sort of definitely pushing the, not the starving artist sort of logo, but definitely, you know, his own individuality came to the fore. I think that's why he won the Mercury Music Prize for that album, actually, I think. Did You Feed the Fish? I'm not too sure. Somebody can quote me on that.
It was 2001, wasn't it?
It was 2002, you were correct.
Yeah, it is. That's the one he won it for. So with your photography and everything, do you have a specific inspiration? Because I know there's one or two people I know who do photography, and their big, especially gig photography, and their biggest influence is Ross Halfen, who does, you know, a lot of the Iron Maiden pictures and everything.
I'm very aware of Ross Halfen. Honest to God, I actually have, I'm the absolute opposite end of the spectrum. I know that might sound like a weird one. My hero is Jim Marshall. He's the original music photographer. He's the first guy that ever took a camera and actually took photos of a musician standardly as a profession, got to know them as a friend. This is back in the 50s. Mm-hmm. 40s, in fact, even, I think he started his very early stuff. And he was the guy that pioneered the idea of a music magazine with a few different people. He pioneered the idea of actually documenting people's lives if they were a musician. If you don't know his name, you do know his photos, because like the Johnny Cash picture with the finger, Jimi Hendrix burning the guitar, every single picture of the Grateful Dead, Joni Mitchell, Janis Joplin, all those pictures, all the proper, the old pictures, the good ones, the Rolling Stones in the studio. He was the real, the Mac Daddy. You know, and anybody that says, you know, they're a music photographer or they want to be a music photographer, I definitely would recommend to check out Jim Marshall's stuff. He passed away there just a few months back, and he's definitely a big loss, and his influence will go on for quite a while, I would imagine. With regards to that, there is Ross Halfen is more of a, he's from the 80s, whenever Kerrang, I think it was Kerrang's initial photographer. That's a style of photography. It's not really documentarian. It's bigger. It's brasher. I wouldn't say it's. They both have the equal value. They're either end of a spectrum, and as I say, they both kind of stride out in very opposite. They've very opposite intentions, I think. I think like the likes of Ross Halfen's work, Tom Barnes actually was tough. I was chatting to about Tom Barnes last night. Very, you know, like they may go out and use five flashes in a shoot. Or Todd O'Young is a Chinese photographer. He's the foremost music photographer in America at the moment with the music magazines. He's big into, you know, his big brass, flashy, you know, perfectly done shoots. I'm more of the, I can't afford a big flashy camera. I like the dirt. I like the broken lens, and there's one going off behind me right now.
That's a Nikon D40, isn't it? See, what I always liked about a Nikon was it gives you a sort of nice, crisper picture quality that you don't really get with a Canon. I think a Canon's a little bit too mechanical.
Well,
in a
now,
way.
Well, we're getting into something I actually am very passionate about. There's a lot of talk about equipment, and every camera is its own thing. I do prefer Nikon, though.
Oh, you can't go wrong.
But every camera is its own thing. It's what you do with it. As they say, the man behind the shovel, you know, the spade's not doing anything unless the man's doing something behind it. I mean, people talk a lot of these days about. I mean, Graham Smith has been very passionately talking these days, the foremost music photographer in Europe at the moment, won the European Young Music Photographer of the Year last year. And he's from Belfast, and I'm happy to have him as a friend, a compadre, and he's been an influence on myself as well, both on attitude and on style. And he's a big pioneer of camera phones and has passionately been chatting about them because he absolutely loves the wee hipstamatic thing. Mm-hmm. You're on about to take a wee quick picture, and I mean, again, like, I gotta say that he's had some arguments with people saying, well, that's not a camera, it's a phone. But at the end of the day, anything that can take a picture is a camera. So long as you can take a good picture with it, then I suppose that's what people are really getting at.
And also, I think with technology now evolving, because remember the old phones that used to have cameras on them used to be fairly abysmal. Whereas nowadays, with the likes of iPhones and I think BlackBerries can do them as well, they're really coming into their own.
No, absolutely. It's funny, like, if people thought that the camera gear that was being brought to a gig was escalating, the amount of camera gear within a phone is escalating probably at the same rate, only it's even smaller. I mean, how long is it going to be before you can just, what, staple a 20 megapixel camera to your face and blink and there's a picture?
And if any inventors are listening, Matthew can be contacted.
Yes, I'm actually pioneering that right now. It's a funny one, that there is a real lot of there's a lot of chat always about. I get asked all the time, you know, like, oh, what's your camera or what's this? And it's not that I don't think that a camera doesn't matter. Technology is important. You need to know how to use it, and you need to have a proper level of technology. But that level's not a big lens or this lens or this flash. In fact, it's no flash. It's if you can take at something that's from you, I think it's a lot more important. Like, if you want to use flash, make it yours. Don't just use it in the way in which everybody else uses it. You know, I love the idea of broken lenses. Anybody out there listening that has any broken lenses, my address is musicphotographer.info. That's the radio-friendly one, or just MatthewAlexanderPatton.com. You can give me an email, send me your broken lens if you don't want it anymore. I'll happily use it. Absolutely.
Is it any specific? Does it have to be Nikon, or can it be Canon?
See, this is
Cameron?
The interesting thing. I'm a techno fiend. I like to arse about with things. I'll take anything going. If it's a camera made of wood from a shoebox with yogurt in the front of it, I'll have that.
And here's one I made earlier. So you said that the first main thing you did was "And So I Watch You From Afar," although, you know, because that was the first one that sort of inspired you to get into it.
Yeah. There was a few gigs around that, but that was definitely one of the main memories. I was coming from a Delaware's gig here in Belfast at the Black Box. And
whatever happened to them?
They're in different bands now. I'd still love to hear this album that I heard rumoured about, because the wee EP they had, the Space Between, The Spaces Between, they were fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great, great, great album.
Very much so. It's just they did have real potential. Now, obviously, you say they're all in different bands, more specifically Katie's now in Katie and the Carnival, doing well for herself. But after the first couple of shoots you did, how did you kind of, what were the other ones you did? And then made you think specifically, this is what I want to do?
I'm not too sure about that. There was sort of a build-up. That was back in January, that and So I Watch You gig. And they were playing with LaFaro, and there was a few gigs up in Belfast. A friend of mine, Junior Johnson, fantastic singer-songwriter from Randallstown, that introduced me to all these fine people up here in Belfast. He kept taking me out to gigs and sort of calling around the house and, asking. My mum was, "Oh, is Matt here? Come on, go out for the night." And I was like, "Oh, no, I want to stay and play Call of Duty." And he said, "No, come on out." So I come on up here to merry old Belfast and rarely ever come up here at all. And, met a few different people. And then went out to the Glasgowbury Music Festival, summer of 07. I went out to the Glasgowbury Music Festival again for summer of 08. And summer of 08 was sort of the day that it all solidified, so it was. That Ash gig. Where they headlined was, 07, 08, that's all, the memories are beginning to mash into one. It definitely was at Glasgowbury, though. Ash was my first sort of commissioned photo, and from that point on, I kind of thought, geez, there's actually somebody really likes this enough to pay money for it.
Mm-hmm.
My God, I might actually, be able to do something with this here that the parents don't disagree with. They still disagree.
But at the end of the day, that's always a good thing, isn't
it? I think it's hilarious. I got a lovely message from my mum about the magazine article thing, calling me hardworking. She laughed at it. But she just can't imagine that at all.
So is that now going to be framed around the house and brought out at all the family functions?
It's definitely going to be brought out for any time I'm needing to be embarrassed, which is probably all the time.
Well, I think I'll get commission for that as well. So the next track you've got is the band I Am Clute from Mankland.
Yes, indeed, from Manchester. I Am Clute, if anybody's seen this, the wonderful film by Danny Boyle, Sunshine, fantastic filmmaker, one of the most innovative filmmakers of our generation, happened to be listening. He was looking for bands for the soundtrack for the film Sunshine, science fiction film, and he just happened to be walking by his daughter's bedroom. And, I like that. What's that? Who's that you're playing? Beautiful, haunting voice of John Bramwell. He's actually toured with Junior Johnson, a friend of mine. Junior's played a few dates on tour with him. Hopefully he'll come back over here sometime soon to, get a chance to get him in front of the lens or something like that. I don't know. I'd probably gush hero worship all over him. I Am Clute, a phenomenal band. They're in the soundtrack to Sunshine. Every single album they've ever done is phenomenal. Beautiful, beautiful songwriting.
And this track is called No Fear of Falling.
Through my sleepless days, I found that in my dreamless sleep I'm bound to one night hear the sound of you calling. Do not stumble through tonight, have no fear of falling. And if nobody got lost, and if no one paid the cost, the price of this you may surmise is forever after. We won't stumble through tonight, drowning in their laughter. We won't stumble through tonight, drowning in their laughter. From these moments we awake, our heads clear of the mistakes, how we never hit the brakes or felt it stalling. Just don't stumble through tonight, have no fear of falling. Don't stumble through tonight, have no fear of falling.
That was In Case of Fire there, and we've had to say goodbye to Johnny there. Thank you very
Bye,
much
McKay.
For taking some photographs. Undoubtedly, they'll be posted up on Facebook, and people will link to it and say, ha ha ha, what a wonker you look like, Owens. But anyway, In Case of Fire, I haven't heard a lot from them in a while recently, because the last time I'd seen them, they supported the Manic Street Preachers in the Ulster Hall. Great gig. But nothing much since.
No, not much since. Not much since. I haven't heard much of them since Glasgow Parade. Hopefully they're still around. I've really been into them over the last 2 months. They've rediscovered. I know that sounds silly, and they're only a couple of years old, but I've rediscovered them again. They're just one of those bands. I don't know. I think they're stuck in some bit of quagmire, and then they're going to burst out of the traps again. Hopefully with another new album. I'm not too sure, but who's to say? I don't know with these things.
Yeah, well, this is true. It's sad to say, though, because they are quite a... And also, I think they deserve it as well, because they've been struggling for years and years. And then for them to get a chance to make an album, especially with someone like Gil Norton, I think they deserve a little bit more.
Yeah, there's a good track record of local bands recording with big producers. I mean, I know Two Door Cinema Club there that won the Choice Music Award last night. Name drop that. Fantastic album. I'm a big Bloc Party fan, and it was Philip Czar, you call him? The guy did Phoenix's produced Phoenix's album as well. Philip
Czar,
Something like that. It's the Bloc Party producer as well, and God love him. It's fantastic. I think it's absolutely immaculate. I know some people don't like it because it's a bit clean, but God, you got to love a bit of dirt and a bit of clean now and again.
Well, we'll not speculate on that, but we'll talk about that maybe in between songs. But you did recently a photo session for Northern Light on top of the OES Centre, didn't you?
Yes, Wednesday. I'm still wearing the clothes from then, not through lack of cleanliness, jeez, that's a new, I'm inventing new words all the time here these days, not through lack of cleanliness, but just through I've been out for about, I think, 27 different shoots over the last while. I've been a busy boy running around doing different wee things, and It's I don't know, the mind wanders and you forget things. I think I've been walking out of the house with cups of tea and a towel some mornings, going to work.
And then whenever the police stop you and say, "Mr. Patton, we need to have a word with you," you just think, "That's okay, lads. Send us an email. I'll see you later."
I think they've got to know me now. They usually just use my first name, bundle me back in, and ask me if there's any new CDs out. Is there any good?
So you are really a hub in the local scene then? I remember reading when you were talking about the photography, you said you wanted to bring back those sort of 90s colours.
Yes, that's a statement I made there in the middle of the week. It was absolutely fueled in enthusiasm as usual, sitting, liked a couple of photos, and we were talking about, me and the guys were talking about doing something really simplistic, and I like to build on what a band is as they are as people, rather than try to introduce quirks that aren't. I have a very big problem, as I say, with the other end of the spectrum, which is this, you know, like, quirky indie, oh, we're a cool band, look at us, we're throwing shapes at the camera, we're a cool band. My cool bands are like, they stand there and they tell me with their body language, I'm a cool band. Like Supergrass, like Oasis, like, you know, Too Cool for School, you know, like those, it's, you know, like, I want a band that talks to me without cynicism being a factor, you know, without pre-planning, and well, not necessarily pre-planning, because we pre-plan to go on the riff, but you know, it's if that makes sense, there's a level there of ambivalence and of, you know, like letting things fly and develop. All we literally had as a brief was that I said I wanted to have something big, colourful, brassy, and the guys are big, colourful and brassy. And young Colin Laverty is a lovely balance against that. I don't know if he's listening. The angel of my light, it's the young anime boy, matches up well with who I've my two old housemates, Darren and Omar, the other two guys in the band, who we've cleverly nicknamed Panda Face and Ostrich Man.
Which we can't speculate, obviously.
They mesh together so well, it's hard to tell sometimes. But we went up on the roof and we got some really nice wee photos, big brash, get a chair out, and just cross-process them. That's it. It's a set of colours that I, you know, like all these white NME covers, really white photos done in the studio, you know, like white photos, white this, bland colours, you know, even I even noticed I was doing them myself, and it's something I wanted to fight against a wee bit, and hopefully I can continue to do that. God knows, I might have spent my load already on those photos. You never know.
So with what would you think? I mean, obviously, I would say there's a big difference between live photography, you know, live gig photography, and just say in the studio or on the rooftop or whatever. Because you said, as you were saying, there were Two Door Cinema Club. There's dirtiness versus cleanliness.
No, not even that. Like, I'd still love to. I mean, me and the guys have been working together now for since our conception a year and a bit ago. And Inception. Sorry, I got stuck in my head there. I'm still listening to the Inception soundtrack, and it's just, I hear it in the back of my head droning away, reminding me that life is grander than it actually is. It's actually a radio show within a photograph, within a cardboard box. I'll hopefully take the guys into the studio someday to do a really clean one of those sort of clean shoots, and we'll do it in our own way. That's kind of the thing. It's like, or we'll try to. It's not, we might not succeed. As I say, I love breaking eggs, but it's one of those things. I find a lot of people, and like, I was actually chatting with a young girl who's a photography, or she's going to be a photography student. She was asking me about Tom Barnes. Tom Barnes is one of the biggest music photographers, most sought after music photographers in Britain at the moment. Great fella, great blog to read through. It's just one of those things. I look at his setups, and he's got these like five flashes around the band. The band are pristinely lit and perfectly photoshopped, and I don't know. I just kind of think of it, like, if I had all that equipment there, would I actually enjoy using that, or if I build it up gradually, would I learn a respect for each component? How to use it, when to use it, when it's too much. Like, I like to think that it's like anything, you can strip it away and it still sounds good, mm-hmm. or still looks good, if that makes sense.
Well, definitely, because I mean, sometimes the most exciting photographs are just simply something on a wee digital compact compared to, say, just something like a 5D, which costs, what, like $2,000 or something, and it looks a bit sterile and boring.
Yeah, well, even that there, mentioning that, I give a big out to anybody out there that's using color processing. Definitely do it. Play about with it. Break eggs, as I said. Make mistakes. Find your own color style. Even a lot of people don't realize that all the old great photographers like Ansel Adams, they slaved away for days in a dark room, burning, dodging their films, mixing chemicals, cross-mixing chemicals, inventing new chemicals. Just looking at the pictures, staring at them, getting to know their own work, getting to know their own images, and creating their own style out of that. And it's something I think a lot of people don't. It's something that happens actually a lot. It's not the single finger to point. There's a lot to point to everybody. Everybody's kind of told to you can learn stuff, but they kind of learn off other people, and it's not as natural, I find, when it's in a sort of like the classroom environment. I like, as I said, about breaking. I think it's kind of hard to break eggs when there's other people breaking eggs beside you. It's good to go off on your own sometimes, and you know, sometimes the eggs mix, and that's good. That's it creates brilliance. But other times, you know, you end up getting maybe 20 people in a class, and 18 of them take the exact same photo. Or if something gets really good, everybody tries to copy it, but then it loses its uniqueness. So you know, that's why we always talk about the original greats, rather than the new greats, I suppose. But it's not even a fight for. I wouldn't necessarily classify that as a fight for originality. I'd classify it more as a fight for, as I say, personality. People being themselves. I'm sure, like, I've had it leveled at me that I copy certain people's styles, and other people. Actually, a guy I live with has took a photo the other day, put up on Facebook, and a guy went, "That's a great photo, Matt," and he had to unfortunately go, "Actually, it's mine." And I thought it was hilarious, because it's just funny because we happen to live beside each other, or with each other, and it's funny how those situations come up. You know, you get bands that sound like bands, you know. So at the end of the day, it's a creative environment that grows within itself, and I just like to see whenever people push for something their own. Like, for instance, Mojo Fury, to mention a band that's a man in a band, actually. And Mike's a great innovator, I think, for he's a crazy genius, and they've got their album coming out. Heard a few little snippets of it. It's fantastic.
Sadly, no snippets were able to include on the show today, for legal reasons.
No snippets. Their single was released there, The Man, and it's fantastic. It's phenomenal. There are other words I could use here you would never let me put out on air, but their album launch is at the Spring and Airbreak on the 14th of May, and anybody that isn't down at that, I mean, this album's what, 5 years in the making now, get your ass down to it,
otherwise you're a loser, plain and simple. Okay, you've got a Joni Mitchell track for us here.
Yes, I do indeed. Joni Mitchell, it's just one from the back end of life that people have forgotten about a little bit. Bring things down a pace. It's a bit of a difference from Ash.
You could say that, yeah. Now, how do you actually pronounce this track?
Honestly, I'm going to say that I have no idea, and say that it's Helgera.
We'll go with that. Anyway,
honestly, don't know.
Anyway, this is Joni Mitchell.
Someone, white flags of winter. of a modern bay. From the window of a hotel room, thank you.
facing down. I'm facing down.
Okay, would you like to tell us about this track, Matthew?
Yes, that's one of my favourites off Pocket Promises album. Lovely, lovely bunch of guys. A little bit older than the youthful crowd that's running around making music out here in Belfast. But those guys, they recorded that over in France, and it's a beautiful album, one of the best albums I think I've heard in my time up around here. And you should definitely check it out.
That's what we like to hear. Now, what... talking about this off air, we were saying that there are several myths, shall we say, regarding photography. Like I'd always had this thing that, you know, usually with if you're a photographer at a gig, you get three songs and then that's it, you bugger off.
Oh yes, this, yeah, the three song rule. There's a I've this is a party piece of mine. No, the three song rule actually is a funny one. Everybody talks about the three song rule without really knowing where it came from or why they're doing it. It's there for sort of the crowd's purpose, for the artist's purpose, but people don't really use it that way. People use it to kind of make a statement about, oh, that you're in for three songs a night. And there's even photographers that defend themselves, like their websites are called, you know, oh, three song such and such, and it's like, oh, I'm the king of the three song rule. And again, I'm talking about another end of a spectrum here, because I like to work as a documentarian. I like to know the person that I'm actually, I don't, not in an egotistical, maybe it is an egotistical way, I don't know, it depends. I like to think I can get a better photo out of a friend than I can out of somebody I've only just met. And like, I mean, that's all it takes, that first impression. So Billy Joe, if you're out there, I love Green Day, and if you want me to take your photo, you know where I'm at. No, all joking aside, the three song rule was invented back by Bruce Springsteen back in the 80s. And about 60 photographers turned up to one of his gigs, and back then there were no rules, and you know, all these flashbulbs going off and all, about 50,000 crowd, and Bruce played about half a song and he just kind of went, you know, bad words this. Just, you know, just realised I was on radio there and called myself on. You know, said a few words you can't say repeating radio, and he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you three songs, and then... It's a terrible Bruce impression, you know, but, you know, what can you do? I'm going to give you three songs, and then, you know, you got to bugger off, because I'm here for the crowd. And everybody else basically just went from that here, well, if it's good enough for Bruce, it's good enough for my artist. Mm-hmm. And the managements and the record companies, they pervade this idea, much in the same way that they used the Tom Petty album to up the price of albums. They used the Bruce Springsteen thing. It's all escalated from there. I don't see it as a bad thing at all. I do think that an overcrowded photo pit is a bad thing. And that's not speaking for me. At my own personal point of view, I generally try to stay away from it as much as possible. I prefer to pick a different angle when I can. But I think it's good for range. It's like when people, sometimes you can see people homing in on the front man like sheep trying to get a photo, and you just know every single one of those photos they take, and they're hitting the button about 100 miles an hour. It's like, oh, I'm going to get like 900 photos here, but the guy beside you is going to get 900 photos from another like 2 inches around at an angle. And then the guy from that's another 10 inches around. I just think that's very vapid and very soulless, you know. Like, I'd like to think, like, people fight in there, and it's brought about these, you know, like, there's the three-song rule right of way or bylaws, if you so to speak, you know, the photographer's code, almost, of, you know, respect and letting people past. And, like, I can see even in Belfast, there's a lot of photographers in Belfast, a lot of good photographers in Belfast, and there's a lot of people fighting for space and competition, and I can even see at some gigs, like the big gigs, like in So I Watch You gigs, or even a couple of Plastic Rose gigs. I remember Jerry looked down at me once, and there's a guy I'll not name, but stood in my foot and pushed me out of the way, and Jerry stopped playing for a second. And I just sort of looked down at me and said, like, as if I go, are you all right? And kept playing again. And, I haven't spoken to that fellow who will not be named ever, but, I mean, it was a really dickheadish thing to do, lad. Yeah. so I'll call you out on radio in my anonymity. But, no, it's all about, like, as I say, I like to think that people can, you know, everybody can do their own thing and be their own individual person without treading on other people's toes, not to make a pun out of it, or maybe. it's just one of those things. It's like there's a set of it's a set of rules that everyday life and common sense kind of dictates would be better to use for most people. Like if you're looking to start out in photography, the reason people are telling you only 3 songs is because they don't trust you. That's really what it is. And like if you can earn that trust, you can go beyond that, and then you can go further and further than that. There, I mean, at the end of the day, what people really want is, you know, they want you to take a good picture. So, you know, they don't want you to get in the way of the gig, and it's if you can prove that you can do that, then people won't say the 3-song rule to you. It's as simple as that. You still get it now and again from a few people though that like to play Big Daddy.
Yeah, because I mean, I remember I was at the Nuclear Winter Fest at the end of January there, and there was one particular band.
Whereabouts was that at?
It was a 3-night thing. 2 nights were at the Pavilion. The last night was in Auntie Annie's. At the second night, there was a Dublin band on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they were called Contort, but we can't really clarify that for legal reasons.
Cool.
But there's a photographer. Now, you know what the stage of the Pavilion's like. It's not that particularly
big. Yeah, no, that's the other thing. I mean, Belfast is, you know, it's a small place.
Yeah, so you don't really need to act like this. But there was a guy taking photographs. Now, he wasn't climbing up on stage. He was just taking a couple of photographs. But I remember the
big camera?
Sorry?
Big camera?
No, it was something like a... something like that, but with a 50mm lens and a tiny one, so it's not that particularly
big. That's totally like a puppy dog. That's like that's harmless.
But for some reason, the bass player of said band decided to actually push the camera into the guy's face and tell him to F off, which I don't think is on. Because I mean, at least you just stop and say no, don't do that. Actually, pushing a camera into someone's face.
I sort of can see the situation in my head. I'm sure in the heat of the moment, you know, somebody's in their creative passions, you know, the juices are flowing, per se. And I'm sure he thought, you know, stick it, like get it out of the road. But I can understand that. I mean, even like people think, if people think you reach a plateau or you've ticked every box, it's really funny because life's not like that. And certainly music photography isn't like that. I've never found it to be like that. I find my entire... if you could call it a job, it's not a job, I enjoy it. A job's something you do that you don't like. You know, my main problem to deal with is knowing when to take a photo, when to raise the camera up, make sure that somebody wants the photo taken. And you can take a photo of somebody if they're feeling bad, and it can make them feel better. You can take a photo of somebody if they're feeling bad, and they'll let you do it if they trust you, if you know, they know you're not doing it just to take a photo, if you know what I mean. I know that's weird because that is to take a photo, but does that make sense? Probably doesn't make sense. People don't want you to, you know, intrude, as they say. It's like if you get I see a lot of photographers who come down with these massive lenses and poke them at people, and I don't play music myself. God forbid do I ever learn, because I'll destroy the world with one note. with my enthusiasm for it. I've seen people treat my friends who are musicians really badly with cameras. I've seen them, you know, like just sticking, oh, here, can I take a photo? And it's not the individual act of it. It's when it happens 1,000 times, suddenly you can understand why somebody might actually jam their bass into, you know, God, now that I've said this, I'll give people ideas. Probably the next time I'm out of the gig, I'll get slammed in the head with a drumstick from across the way, a deftly thrown drumstick. Here, lad, what? It is. It's. I think it's a respect thing more than anything. I mean, like I know I personally, and this isn't a I suppose this is advice or now, or it's going to probably sound like it. So don't take it as advice. Don't listen to a word I say. I know absolutely nothing. Break your own eggs, as I broke mine. You know, talk to a band before they play. Get to know them, even if you've never met them before. Say hello. Let them know that, you know, you're on their side. That'll, you know, even that, they'll give you a lot more. They'll take a better photo. It will take a better photo. They'll relax for you. They're nervous on stage. They're coming up from wherever, or they're playing for wherever, to a crowd of their mates. I have never done that. You know, I can only speculate. I'm the guy standing down taking the photo, and goddamn it, some people look amazing and they look like they're having fun, and some people do look nervous. And you know, I can kind of appreciate both sides of that coin. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what we're saying there about common myths regarding music photography, are there any other ones that you'd like to debunk on air?
There is no such thing as a bunch of red M&Ms backstage. They're blue.
Right, that must make a note of that, actually.
Yeah, that they're for the music photographers, actually. Uh-huh. The red ones are specifically for girls, and the green ones, which you've never heard of before, they are literally only for Tony Wright of And So I Watch You From Afar, because he loves green M&Ms.
There you go. The Death and Resurrection show, breaking new boundaries again. Just remember, 2-3 weeks ago, we actually announced that Lavery's were stopping doing live music entirely, and now it's only coming up on fast food these days. So as a photographer, and also as a connoisseur of the scene...
Population.
Yeah, I do hate that. That's the official term, population. Thank you.
It's the audio listening population of Belfast.
Thank you very much.
There's a new term for it.
What's your opinion on the demise of the Bunker as a live venue?
I've been in it 4 times, I think, maybe. So that's maybe my opinion on it as such. Mm-hmm. I think it's bad to lose a venue. I suppose it kind of maybe, I don't know, from my perspective, obviously, if I've only been in it a few times and I don't really have much of an attachment to it, it means nothing to me, which is, it's again, this all repeats back upon itself, what I say about attachment. If you're attached to something, it becomes a care to you. And in that kind of way, I suppose that maybe not enough people cared.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not enough people went to the gigs. So it's... Again, it's all that these things, they wrap back around in themselves. I can't say that there's a lot of plans going on at the minute. Or maybe hopefully get a few new venues here in Belfast. You know, there's you know, a few bits of scaffolding out here beside the churches, you know, maybe. Yeah. Some of them, no.
There's also a few posters that have been painted over by the council.
There have indeed. That's an interesting one. I think it's a filthy, dirty habit. Sorry, are we talking about... Oh, Flyposter, and I thought we were talking about someone else entirely. No, no.
We'll talk about that later.
Flyposter's an interesting thing. I personally think that, like, internet in a singular word, noun, there is no the, it's just a beast now. No, the internet, you know, you can do a lot with that. And I don't mean Facebook. Again, this sounds like advice, or this should be common sense. It's like, if you're spamming your mates on Facebook, that's probably going to do worse for you, you know. Like, think up new ways of getting people's attention. You know, if you have a band website, you know, don't just stick a picture on it and then don't use it. You know, like, blog about stuff. Like, I do a lot of blogging. That's sort of how I've managed to grow in a few different directions myself. I can see that, looking back with hindsight. And I definitely would advise that. I work quite closely with a young band called Colenso Parade. Beautiful young bunch of bubbly boys from County Tyrone, except for Philip Taggart. He's an animal and always will be.
Is he from Tyrone as well?
Yeah, but he's an animal. He's just not the same species as the others. No, I set up a blog for them there, and the boys have just started using it, and they're all excited, and I'm just hoping that, you know, like, they're going to be a little experiment to sort of push in the right direction, because... Bands, like, people want to hear that sort of stuff. Like, you wonder why, like, you know, people liked, you know, old musicians. It's because they talked. People are too scared to talk these days. And that's something, actually, I mentioned this morning. I was traipsing through and reading through the usual bunch of guff. You know, all those intellectual sites that'll make me sound like I know what I'm talking about, like The Guardian or something. It wasn't even The Guardian. It was thefirstpost.com or something, which is, I don't even know what the website is. I just got a link across. It had a picture of Justin Bieber and it looked punchable, so I went and clicked for it. It was a music journalist who was saying that musicians these days are bland and they don't talk about anything, and that's why music press, like NME, is dying. And I gotta agree with them, because, like, their figures, I think, for the year, like, down 16.5%.
Yay!
No, but NME is still the biggest selling music magazine in the UK, with about a 35,000 circulation.
I thought it was Classic Rock.
I think Classic Rock has about 31,000 something like that. So no, but you know what I mean. So this is what I say: every music magazine is dying. Print is dying, you know, because we don't want to kill the trees anymore. But it's not, that's not the point. I mean, if people are going to be bland and there's nothing to talk about, of course people aren't going to bloody listen. That's that. That's common sense. I'd like to see some, you know, Stones out there. I like to hear stories of people throwing things out of windows and, you know, Charlie Sheen at the minute, I think, is making a storm for himself. You know, if that guy starts a band, that's the best PR run up towards starting a band I've ever seen in my life. That band will sell out on a world tour, no problem.
And then we'll get them in the show here for a session. Yes. Okay, you've got a track here lined up for us from Patty Nash and the Happy Enchiladas.
Absolutely, one of the most beautiful albums ever, ever to come out of this planet. Not even Ireland, this planet. Big lovely fella, Patty Nash and Deanne Greer and all the guys up there in Derry. They make some fantastic music and it gets overlooked. And I'd love every time I'm down here and get an opportunity to play it in Belfast, I do. So I will.
Okay, this track is called Barefoot in Verona. chirpy sound of Brett Poplar. That was Supergrass there. But obviously another band from the days of youth.
Yeah. That's another band from days of youth. It has relevance as well. You were talking about the Northern Lights shit on top of the WES Center. That, as I said, was the whole idea of bringing back these big brassy blue colouring and pink lips and, you know, all that there. You know, really blown out, broken, carelessly taken photos, almost breaking eggs again. How many times have I said that? It's desperate. But Supergrass photos, the old Oasis photos, you know, the Jan Firmanansky style, like Radiohead photos, even things like that. They're really, you know, they're so rich looking. Like, you ever look at the Prodigy's photos? Steve Gullick is another guy to check out. He's fantastic. He's still going. Steve Gullick, I think his motto is he's never bought a camera that's cost more than 20 quid. And I think, and he's one of the best photographers in the world. He's worked with everybody.
So, would you take? Have you used film cameras before?
I've used a couple. Unfortunately, I don't own one. If anybody wants to buy me one out there,
there's three requests. So, if you're listening, you can contact Matthew.
I've used a few lovely, nice wee crappy Lumixes and things like that there, but I've never had a proper run at them. I'm big into disposable cameras at the minute as well. Actually, I think it's hilarious because people are so unnerved by them. My whole ethos, as I say again, is to use like sort of small equipment to not aim for an intrusion to people. Like, I want to make them feel comfortable. So whenever you bring out a Polaroid camera or something that looks a bit different and it's not a digital camera, people kind of, they don't retreat from it. They kind of go, oh, what's that? And point at it, and you end up getting a different reaction completely. Like, I brought a wee disposable camera down to Tim Wheeler's acoustic session at the OES Centre, and if there's a photo I got of Tim that's I've yet to put out anywhere of him, literally it's just finger pointing at the camera and a big grin. It's just like, he's like, oh, what's that? It's like a little child's toy. It's a little yellow Kodak thing, which is pretty funky. I'd recommend, you know, tossing about with any kind of old stuff because you never know what you're going to get.
Because I've heard a lot of people argue that with digital photography you don't really, because what you were touching upon there with the richness of those sort of photographs of groups like the Prodigy back in the day,
you
can't really get that with digital photography.
I would disagree totally with that. No, it's not even that. The only thing that film really has over digital is that it has a few extra stops in the dynamic range for any photo enthusiasts out there that know what dynamic range is, in fact. Like, your eye has a certain amount of points of dynamic range. You see more across the board. Digital camera has less than films in between the two. So really, that's all you're losing, but you can gain that back. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're going to be cross-processing your film anywhere, you're going to be, you know, doing a bleach bypass, favourite of mine, adding a bit of black back into your photos, which is where those Prodigy photos came from and stuff. Anyway, that's Steve Gullick's taking those photos into the darkroom and basically chopping the crap out of them with colour. Like, he didn't take them just like that. You know, like, That's what I mean. People get these ideas in their head that the past is good, or the past is this, the past is brilliant, and they kind of get a preconception or a generalisation of what went into making it without really realising how somebody did something. Like, people talk about, oh, I don't Photoshop my work. Well, you know, do you know that, like, Photoshop is just a digital darkroom? That's their slogan, digital darkroom.
Mm-hmm.
So if it takes you 30 seconds to do something, and it takes, as I said, Ansel Adams 4 days to sit in his little cave up there in the Yellowstone National Park, and he takes these big, beautiful black and white, high contrast. There's every tone of black in the planet on that photo. And it takes him 4 days to get it. Do you not think Ansel Adams would have picked Photoshop if he had done it in 30 seconds?
He's been kicking himself ever since.
He's been kicking in his grave. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things. It's again how the tools are used, and, you know, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, just, again, advice corner, stay away from the sharpen button. Never ever use it. Never use it. There's no such thing as sharpen in a dark room. Well, there is, but using an actual lens. don't stay away from that. It looks terrible. I will say that one thing. In a negative point about music photography.
Oh, controversial.
The sharpen button is an absolute pain to look at. I nearly tore my eyes out looking at some photos of and so I watched you from afar from Sweden the other day. Absolutely.
Right. And also another controversial point is
a lot of these.
You were mentioning about fly poster in there, and I've had several people on the show.
Yes.
Famously, Darren from a Northern Light nearly swore on air whenever I mentioned it, said, what did you think of the council's policy of fly poster?
Yeah.
you seem to think that, your opinion is that fly posterings had its day and that there's other ways of doing it.
Yeah, I think fly posterings, it's not without its merit. It's just that, like as I said to you off air in between songs, I had a conversation with a friend of mine about postering and people putting up, oh, that guy was putting up posters on top of my posters. And I sort of said, well, why didn't you go put posters up on top of his posters and make an even bigger mess? And that's kind of the whole point of it. There's so many people out there putting gigs on now that you got to find new ways to do stuff. And I don't mean, you know, like that in such a grandiose way. I kind of do, actually. Go out and find new ways to do stuff. You know, there's new markets out there. We're a very intense local music community. We're small. You know, those posters are... they're not really needed, almost. I mean, you're reminding people about gigs that they know are happening because their mates are playing in it. And yes, the reminder is good because it builds up a base confidence in the fans going to the gig. But at the same time, you want to see other stuff, you know, like, you know, hit other media. I'd love to think of something offhand. But, like, you know, the internet's big, you know, Google stuff. And as I say, if you want to tell people about your gig on the internet, don't use Facebook. Go to a music blog. Go and put your music out there to somebody new that's never heard it before. Find a new market. Find a music forum. Like you were mentioning fast food there. Everybody goes in fast food. You know, there's like a metal forum that's the same size as fast
food. Metal Ireland,
Ireland, there you go.
That's a great
like,
forum.
I think that's... not that I go on it myself. I'm not saying that I'm on Metal Ireland. I'm not. I think I might have signed up for it once. Maybe in the distant past, to go check that out when I get home. But go and find like new targets to hit. Now, I'm not saying obviously if you're an indie band, don't go to metalireland.com. Go to, you know, like indiebristol.com or, you know, I don't know, jazz experimental punk.
San Francisco.
I was really dying to pick a place there out of everywhere in the world. Yeah. You know, like I'm hearing that Jazz Uzbekistan's pretty good this time of year. .com/org.panda. Go and find new things to do and don't whine about them. Like, I mean, obviously, like, they're not an eyesore. They look cool whenever they're up and they do look nice, but whenever they are a mess, they do look terrible. And I'm not going to make any bones about that. I'd prefer not to see them. Advice Corner again, which is coming around, it's turning into a thing. A couple of friends of mine have this brilliant idea where they get two posters and they staple them round lampposts. That way they're actually easy to take off. So if you could almost convince the council that that would be a good way to replace fly postering, that would be a great way because it's easier to take them off again and they're actually stable and better seen because they're on a footpath in your way rather than on a wall. I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily walk down the street looking at walls. I look where I'm going.
Unless you're walking into walls, of course.
Yes.
Okay, well, I've got 5 minutes left, so you've got a Rupture Dogs track for us
off. I do, and this goes out to the boys. I haven't seen them in a while. Get round for beers and dinner, lads. Get down for beers and dinner. Alan Garth, and it's now John. Unfortunately, Gary has left the band. John has come in, and the guys are phenomenal. They're one of the best local bands about, and they've been on tour in Scotland, and I think they're back again. Yeah, of course they're back. I saw them the other night. But beers and dinner, just remember that. They're an absolutely brilliant band, really full of beans. They opened the Glasgowbury Music Festival last year, and they opened it with technical difficulties, not their own, just a bit of late at the gate, the security getting people in. But like after two songs, they had like 350 people flooding in to listen to them, and I think that's indicative of just how good they are. Their sound just ruptured people, brought them in.
No pun intended, of course.
Of course not.
I'd like to say thank you very much to Matthew for coming on the show today.
No problem at all.
Obviously, you've got a couple of websites, haven't you?
Just the one. They all link to the same place. If you want to catch me online, all my rambles and jazz and photos and stuff, obviously, the radio-friendly website is just MatthewAlexanderPatton.com, or if that's too long for you and you don't know how many T's are in Matthew, it's just musicphotographer.info.
Fair enough. So we'll end with Rupture Dogs with Joe. So I'd like to say thank you very much for
listening
to the show.
Thank you very much for having me on, man.
Thank you very much. Take care, and we'll see you soon.